This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
Time has just gone 7:44, and it is gives me tremendous pleasure to welcome Israel correspondent Olivia Rafovich, former IDF spokesperson. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you so much for your time. I didn't know that you were actually an author as well. But yes.
I'm sorry. Don't get you aware. I'm sorry.
Ah, okay. So I will speak up. Olivia, can you give us an update on, you know, a week in the IDF this last week?
Yeah. First of all, this week, soldiers in the Gaza Strip against Hamas in very fierce fights. The northern part of the Gaza Strip, Hamas is still continuing to attack us. And in this war, we have wanted to have also dead soldiers. And we are still continuing, as you know, to try in all means to release our hostages. During the week, we found two bodies of hostages in the Rafah area, in the south part of the Gaza Strip. We got very precise intelligence, and we found two bodies from a Bedouin village,
yes.
The father, and we are analyzing if the second body is a son of the Zaidna family. And in this situation, we have still attacks from the Houthis with drones, like yesterday, three drone attempts to attack Israel. We disrupted the attack, but the Houthis continue to try to attack the state of Israel. And we have also a rise of tension in the West Bank, in Judea and Samaria. There was an attack this week, and we lost three people, two women and one policeman,
yes,
in a shooting attack in the northern part of the West Bank in Samaria. What I want to say is that war is not over. We are fighting in the different fronts, and the state of Israel is still fighting for protecting civilians, its population. And here we are.
Olivia, why are we still seeing, you know, in the diaspora, obviously we're not privy to the inside information that many Israelis might be, but what we keep hearing from Israeli media is that, you know, Hamas has been overcome and Hamas is finished and Hamas is done, and yet Israeli soldiers in the north and in the south of the Gaza Strip are still dying. So who's fighting them?
Hamas is organized terrorist army is done, is over. But it does not mean that Hamas is totally dismantled. They actually reformed terrorist cells, terrorist groups, mostly in the northern part of the Gaza Strip. And there is still, I would say, intention, determination for Hamas to continue to fight. And maybe we can see a change of modus operandi of Hamas. I mean that they are not looking for contact with our forces, but they are planting explosive devices, bombs, in the ground when our armored vehicles or our troops are walking on the roads, and then they activated from remote device the the explosive. Well, it looks like a guerrilla warfare more than contact war that was the case before, and we need more and more intelligence to dismantle and to arrest, or sometimes to eliminate, the terrorist. At the same time, I want just also to be very clear, because it's very important to say it. We continue to bring and to increase the humanitarian assistance to the people of Gaza.
Yes.
And in this war, in spite of the propaganda from the other side, we are not in any case in a war against the people of Gaza. We are in a war against Hamas and Islamic Jihad groups and other terrorist groups. But from the very first day, the goal has never been to be in a war against the Palestinian people in Gaza, but against the terrorist groups. And I even would like to tell you that the Palestinians themselves don't want Hamas anymore, don't want to be in their Hamas regime, but they are afraid to say it loudly, to declare it loudly. So here we are in this situation.
Right. Who is the current leader of Hamas?
We believe that it's Mohammed Sinwar, the brother of Yahya Sinwar.
Yes.
Who actually took the lead of the terror group with all their members. But we consider Mohammed Sinwar, Yahya Sinwar's brother, as right now the... I would say the actual leader of Hamas.
Do you think that any of the hostages are still alive?
We believe and we hope that many of them are still alive. We understand that it is in terrible conditions. We consider that many of them are not alive anymore, but tens of them, according to our assessment, are still alive.
You know, as a strategy, it would be in Hamas's interest, and because of the mental anguish and the mental damage that it would do to Israelis and Jews around the world, if Hamas published a list of all, you know, or proof of life of all the hostages, because we all know that everyone who is alive with Hamas is being tortured. And yet they haven't done that. Why do you think that is? Why haven't they published a list of proof of life, or, you know, who's alive and who isn't?
You know, I'm not speaking for Hamas, but I can tell you that for 461 days, they are actually keeping people in their tunnels. From the very beginning, they are actually using the hostages issue as a psychological terrorism, to terrorize the population, to terrorize the families, to put a real, pressure, psychological pressure on the population, on the families. And it is for Hamas a kind of insurance to continue to keep their own people, I mean, people for Hamas, safe. They think that because they have the hostages, so of course they can use them as a life insurance, even I would say. So they play with us. They play with our nerves. They play with our mind. They play with our heart. And that's why they are not so keen to release any information. You know, from the very beginning, they never let the ICRC, the Red Cross, or their humanitarian agencies to visit them, to see them. It's inimaginable
yes.
The way they deal with us. And the world, most of it, doesn't really care. We, of course, have plenty of people understanding the situation, but many people, other people, don't understand or don't want to see what's going on about the hostages. And if the hostages are released, if Hamas is laying down the weapons, war is over. So everything was and is depending on the way how Hamas is dealing with these hostages, so sensitive issue.
I've got some other questions about, you made a statement earlier that Israel's war is with Hamas, not with the people of Gaza. And yet, when we look at the footage of the 7th of October, we see civilians, not necessarily military operatives, not necessarily, there were civilians, there were journalists, there were people who were working for NGOs who took part in the 7th of October massacre. When we look at hostages, some of the hostages who have been released were reporting that they were staying with Arab families in Gaza. How do you distinguish between the organization that is a terrorist organization and civilians who may not be involved with that?
What you say is, of course, on these... unfortunately true in many cases, when we saw also a civilian being part of the massacre on the 7th of October. But in the same time, I want to be very clear, State of Israel is doing this war according to international law and according to ethics, Israeli ethics, IDF ethics, Jewish ethics. And even if we know, and we know it about intelligence sources, we do what we are doing according to precise intelligence. We don't strike before knowing what's going on with very precise intelligence. So we make the difference between Hamas operatives or Islamic Jihad operatives and the rest of the population. Because again, we know what we are doing. We don't want to make any. We want to make a clear distinction between the people themselves, the population, and the Hamas. If there are some people here and there involved also, so they are going to be involved. But the goal of the State of Israel is not from the very beginning. Is not a war against Gaza people, but against Hamas. Dismantle Hamas, make Hamas not being anymore the leader of this Gaza Strip, and to release the hostages. That's the three goals which have been approved by the Israeli government, by the political echelon, and according to these three goals, we are actually waging this war, which is a very difficult and very complex war, because it's a war in an urban area with many civilians, again, I repeat. And you know, because you are in South Africa and you are aware about all the critics, all the propaganda from so many people, so many countries coming against Israel, that we are doing something that we are actually not doing. And I just want to tell you that right now in these days, there is a terrible situation in Sudan.
Yes.
But you have also in Congo. I'm talking about the African continent. And people don't care. No one in the world speaks about this terrible situation of people in Sudan or in DRC or other places in the world, because Israel is not involved. When Israel is not involved, the media are actually quiet, and the people don't care. They care not because Palestinians have been involved in this tragedy decided by Hamas strategy, but because Israel is involved for its security.
Olivia, I have to just tell you one thing before I let you go, and I wish you Shabbat Shalom, is that, you know, you say that there are so many critics of Israel. As you will know, a lot of what's happening on university campuses is being funded by Qatar. Excuse me. But what we see here in South Africa is we see what's happening with Christian Zionists and Christians, not only Christian Zionists, not only Zionists. I mean, we are seeing people who are pursuing the truth and who know the truth of the situation. And there is an enormous amount of support for Israel. You need to know that, and you need to believe that, because it changes. You know, when we feel like victims, and we really can't afford to feel like victims as a Jewish people. You know, resilience is when you realize nobody's coming to save you and you have to get up and save yourself. That is the Jewish people in a nutshell. But we need to know that we stand together and there are people beyond our community who stand with us.
I'm sure that what you are saying is right and is a truth. And if I may, I would like to use the opportunity to talking to your radio station right now and to send my gratitude and my profound thanks to all the people, Jews and mostly non-Jews, who understand that Israel is fighting an existential war. Yes. For its security. We are a small country. We are a small people. In numbers, but we have the right to defend ourselves. We have the right to live. We have the right to raise our children. We have the right to be happy. We have the right to peace, like everybody in the world. And when people want to kill you, you're not going to let them do it. So, for all these people with us understanding our situation, thank you very much, and thank you to your station, because broadcasting about Israel from South Africa, it's also symbolic in these days. And for me, I know very well Africa, mostly West Africa, not so the South, but I love Africa, and I love people in Africa, and I think that between Israel and the African peoples all over, I don't care if they are Christian, non-Christian, there is something in common. So God bless you. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you so much for the time, and stay safe. Thank you, Olivia. That is Olivia Rafovitz, who is an Israel correspondent. He is the former IDF spokesperson. Time is 8:02. I do apologize that your news is 2 minutes late. I thought it was important that he got to say what he needed to say.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.